A new career opening.
That Rutledge, well, white.
Very white.
She died for it.
Okay, I have a technical question. Maybe you might know. You know, if I get an email and it's something I want, I don't delete it. Then I want to save it in the file. When I slip it down to save, it disappears. When I take it and go to the right file, it disappears.
Did it disappear into the
right mailbox or file?
Into the right mailbox or folder. I mean. Shut up. I don't even know what these words mean. But wherever it says, like, if I happen to have a file called Harry,
yeah,
which I don't.
Thank God.
And I got it, and I wanted to put you push a little button and you drag it over and put it in there.
What button are you pushing?
The one I've always pushed. I don't know. But the point of it is, when I then go, and it's not there. And it's nowhere else I can find. It just disappeared.
It could have gone into another.
I looked at all of those, and I looked at those little ones I don't understand down at the bottom.
Maybe you got too many in there.
No. It happened a whole bunch of times. I just happened to notice it on a particular one.
This guy's punishing
you. I don't know.
Why is he punishing me?
I think you need to show Kevin how you're doing it so he can show you what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. But Kevin, I have a right here. Kevin, computer problem. But Kevin's not here. That's why I was hoping.
Think about what you've done.
I have another idea. And you made an audio tape of a lot of our music, right?
It's on CD.
Huh?
It's on CD.
Oh. Yeah, we call it a CD.
Can we put that? Can we make that of it? Can that go on the website as something so that people have asked us for it?
Sweet.
Tom has it on there somewhere hidden, but we can put it.
I've converted it to MP3s, and I've got it.
Put it on the website?
Yeah. I was thinking about that on the walk this morning, because we're talking to Bloom about downloads and stuff. And
John's wonderful music.
That would be, I think, an interesting download.
It's out there.
Yeah, it'll be in playing in malt shops from coast to coast. Coast to coast. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
I didn't know that. I'm laughing at the term malt shops.
Yeah, Arnold's. They'll be playing it at Arnold's.
Whoa.
Ecclesiastes 7.
We can sell iPods loaded with John's music.
I'm
going to
put a little packet of sugar.
Because it's sweet.
It's a smart way to do it.
But it's fake sweet.
All the really cool people are doing it.
Oh, my God.
Because we never leave from Ecclesiastes 7.
No, I've got no shoe. Oh, this is the original shoe that she took upon herself to buy another.
Sweet and low.
Have we spent enough time on the whole idea that essence of these different pillars of wisdom, and that thinking suffering is strange is the anti-wisdom. There can't be. And so I want to see if we can move ahead at least. Anybody not understand that? Any part of it? We could spend the next 6 weeks on it. All right, 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now,
let's go to Judges 20 for a minute.
These are related, aren't they, in 19 and 20?
Yep.
Exodus 20?
Judges. No, that's I don't want to go there. We'll spend all day on that. Let's go to Romans 3. Verse 9. What then are we better than? Well, it's talking about there's nobody good. Then he says, "What then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none." Notice that it, the tense, the verb tense is important. There is not a righteous man. I mean, period. But it's is. And it doesn't mean, well, I used to be bad, now I'm good. Okay? There is no righteous man. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together, or together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And he's talking about, again, remember the first sense of this was both Jew and Gentile. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is everyone. This is you, me, every man that has ever lived. There is none righteous. This is why the cross is the only thing that we can preach. This is why it's Christ. If Christ isn't resurrected in you, then you're without hope. Because he's done everything. So, anybody feel righteous?
I was going to say, even Paul is included in that. He was not a seeker after God, even though he was doing all this stuff
right.
That, you know, would have looked like he was. Recognize that he wasn't.
Yeah. Is there anybody that doubts this? Do you have any doubts that there's any righteous act? Do you think there's anything about you that's righteous? Do you think there's anything about you that you do right?
Put it like that.
I said last night in our Bible study that yesterday morning when we got to this point, I let a scary thing come into my brain. Scary in terms of it comes completely against my primary idolatry, but the idea that those terrible people in the Middle East with a bomb strapped on their waist and burning American flags and hating us, that what they accuse us of, we are guilty of. That, you know, they call us the great Satan and perverted nation and blah, blah. I mean, it's true. And that's kind of shaking me. Not me, but my idolatry, totally.
Well, let's go on. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now what we've done, and what all of us do, and what now hold denominations and nations, and is they take a little slice of something that they think they do right, and they make that, you know, that's what gives them righteousness. But then they ignore all the other things, like,
you know, all of this stuff about the anti-homosexuals or anti-gays, but this in the same passage that it talks about being anti-gay, it talks about being a liar or a fear or being afraid. So, I mean, there is none righteous. This is why the cross is everything. And this is why, you cannot ever think you're right. But you always do, because you always think somebody else is wrong. And if you think somebody else is wrong, you're by definition saying you're right. Without the cross, we are without hope. Now let's go to see it again in Galatians 3. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law.
Where are we? Galatians 3:16.
I mean, excuse me, 2:16. I'm sorry. Galatians 2:16. Somebody give Jeff a page number.
1211.
Yeah. 1211. Whichever one he has.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now notice the of and the ends here. You're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. That means his faith, not faith in him. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ.
That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Black and white.
Yeah.
But read it in other translations. It all says faith in. Can you hear the majesty of this? This is why nothing can ever be right. We start out, we think we can, because we start out believing in him, and we say, oh, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and I've made him Lord of my life, and then, wait a minute, I've even gotten charismatic, I've even speak in tongues and heal people, and I believe in Jesus. No. That's the merest of the beginnings. I believe in him that I might be justified by the faith of him. In the typology, it's what we've talked about. It's the difference between, from the faith in to the faith of is called being between the straits. Now, what has put you between the straits? Where do you think you're right? If you think you're right, if you think in any way you're a victim of anything, then boom, you're still between the straits. Doesn't mean you're not saved. That's not our business. It doesn't mean anything. You're not judging anybody down. It just means that you're still a child.
Still laboring to enter into the rest.
What?
I just had a fear that my phone was going to go off.
It's a good fear. Do you see this, Jeff?
Yes, I do. My phone goes off. There, my fear is realized.
We think that, and again, it's language. Again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus, of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I mean, do we screw up? Yeah. And finally, we end up seeing, as we've been talking about, there's only two places in all of life. There's only the mercy seat or the judgment seat. There's only the mercy seat or the judgment seat. Everything else... Because if I'm on the judgment seat, then by definition, I am in the place of, I'm showing myself that I am God. Because I'm looking and saying, this is right and this is wrong. They are wrong. I am right. No. Anybody familiar with this place about they are wrong?
It only happens when I'm driving.
No, it's only revealed when you're driving. It's there all the time.
You said something a second ago that really kind of triggered up a thing. It's only language, or it's only doctrine, but it's only that until it's seen, and then it's transformed into life.
Amen.
It's that mystery that explodes.
For if I build again, you got to hear this one, what this means. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You destroyed your whole life before you ended up believing in. You were a mess. But you're still a mess. You can't rebuild. Okay, I'm going to now get it right. I used to be bad, now I'm getting gooder. You remain the chief of sinners, but you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You remain. How bad can it get?
That's because you're sanctified.
But you're right. Yeah. You're the salt shaker that's got salt instead of pepper in it. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And how often have we done that? Because we cannot afford the risk of faith. It's too big. You can't afford to present yourself as a living sacrifice. That means there are no conditions. You can't afford to be as Esther. If I perish, I perish. Because you think in terms that there are different times and that way, blah, 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 blah. You always, it's always this total, this totality, this. You're either on one side of that incredible gulf or the other, and only He is on the other. Your life Christ, or are you still concerned with you? For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And remember, love there is the verb. He laid his life down. He went to the cross instead of you. You deserve to be on that cross, but he went instead of you. So you must see yourself as crucified. There's no middle ground. Come on in. Who is it?
It's the guy that we called for the answer. He's supposed to come this afternoon.
Okay, go ahead. Somebody tell him.
Well, they're in here.
Yeah.
Tell
him it'll be 10 minutes.
Thank you.
See if he wants a cup of coffee.
Would you like coffee?
No, I already got it.
Okay, thank you.
I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't return to the how-tos. I don't return to the reward and punishment. If I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It can't be any clearer. Again, you got it. When it talks about the law here, it's just noumos. It just means the way you think a thing works. If Christ, if the way you think a thing works, you're no more in cause and effect. You can't be, because then you're trying to rebuild the thing that you've destroyed. Cause and effect didn't work for you before. Is it a little bit dawning? You can never be filled with right. You can never again be huffy. You can never again be hairy.
This thing that Gary said a little while ago about it's only, you had said it's only doctrine. He said, well, it's only doctrine until it becomes alive, and then it's something else. And that reminded me of all the talk about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The idea that that water, it's like the thing about the water at Castle Hot Springs being trapped above the water table in a rock. The idea that that living water comes from outside of time. It's not polluted. It's not been touched. What you're talking about now, this not being right and being on the mercy seat, puts you back in the flow of this living, unending supply of life that bubbles out of you from outside of time. It's just.
Yeah, this is
why
exciting
analogy.
This is why we talked about the word yesterday about if you deny him, he will deny you before the Father. Now, you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. That would be a little crazy. You deny him by making you dam up this flow of life, of water, of whatever you want to say, by your input, your understanding, your templates, your everything, but that's why in Hebrew, Jesus' name is Yeshua. And the first part, that's the word for Yeshua, or it's translated Joshua here, but it means the Yesh is the what happens when a dam breaks. If there's a little crack in the dam, a little crack in the wall, and slowly but surely the water a little bit flows, and then but the fact that the dam has been cracked, and it was cracked by your failures, and slowly but surely the first part is Yesh, which means that it's inexorable that dam will be destroyed.
Like my strength is made perfect in your weakness,
right.
And your weakness is your
strength. It's like ants trying to build something to hold back the universe.
That's why the promise that we talked about, John and I talked about yesterday, he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it, because there is, do you think our little thoughts are going to affect the plan of God? It's a yesh, it's it can't be stopped.
I'm starting to get the feeling that the writer of the Bible chose his analogies carefully.
That's a big idea.
I know. I'm starting to get that impression.
Who wrote that anyway?
I don't know.
Anybody have anything else? That's enough for today. Take it, big guy.
We're being bugs. He's going to sweep the place for bugs.
Consider the ant.
The last analogy was about ants.